B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Haiti's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missanelli show back on the air after a day. Well, I needed that day. We're broadcasting the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. Can't imagine how much I had to catch up on stuff. Not that you care, but a lot of stuff that backed up because of the Sixers run I could never get to. Like my tree situation and getting rid of furniture and buying the furniture to replace the stuff I get rid of and all that stuff. I was busy yesterday, man. I didn't stop. 6 o'clock in the morning till 9 at night yesterday. That's what that day was. But I'm energized to come back here. And there are a couple of issues I need to talk about. First of all, a couple of quick statements. And now I want to get into the crux of an issue that the Midday Show is talking about. And I have great interest in it because it involves a lot of people's opinion on the 76ers. See, we can't just let go of the 76ers. We're not ready to plug into baseball yet. Like, baseball, it's funny about baseball. It's like, you know, we were all about it when they were signing Harper. And then it hits a lull where we don't get to really pay attention until later in the summer to see whether they're a contender or not. So baseball is like, it's like an unpluggable topic because they play day after day after day. It's not like you can analyze and sit here and analyze a game, right? So we'll get to that in a second. But OTAs, voluntary OTAs are happening now. And two issues for it. One is Carson Wentz has no limitations and won't be held back in off-season practices. And to that, I asked this question. Why? What is the point of having Carson Wentz go full bore in OTAs? Can somebody explain this to me? Why is that so important? Tyrone, you have an opinion on this? Like, what? No limitations for Eagles quarterback Wentz in OTAs headline. I go, why? Why full board? What's the point?
Well, he doesn't have a brace on. I think it's non-contact, so it's not like he's going to get hit.
I get it, but you don't have to go full board.
I put
this guy in an ice chest.
I think what he's saying is there was a lot of concern from fans about the back.
Yeah.
He's saying he's free and clear to do anything he wants to
do. That doesn't mean he has to play. Free and clear doesn't mean he has to go through any exercises at all.
He's got new receivers.
Voluntary OTAs. You got three more OTAs or whatever the hell it is, and he could play. Like, why this one? Why is it so important that he go dancing around like a gazelle in this particular OTA?
For fans.
For fans?
Yes.
I bet you fans are more on my side. I bet your fans are out there saying, what's the point of that? Keep him on the shelf. These are fans that treat the players, and we've seen it in the past, like the porcelain vases. Put them on a shelf. There's no need to see anything now. Oh, that's the way I feel about it. Anyway, it's issue number two. Malcolm Jenkins. Now, if you followed my stance when Fletcher Cox did the same thing a couple years ago, I was totally against it. I'm totally against it for one reason. Because Fletcher Cox is the type of guy who's a leader on this team, and Malcolm Jenkins is probably the leader on this team. So, and he's got 2 years left on his contract. Right? It's not like he's got 1 year left on his contract. He's obviously making a statement to get paid more money, and he's making a statement through, I'm not coming to voluntary OTAs because it's voluntary, but we know it's not really voluntary. The team has to be together as one, and players too. So I'm against Malcolm Jenkins. Tyrone, I know you're about a player getting the money and doing whatever he has to do. When you're a leader, you have a special responsibility to your team right now, and you let your agent handle the money, and you let your agent tell the Eagles that you're dissatisfied. And then down the line, if they ignore you, then you make statements.
I'd rather miss a voluntary thing than anything mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
And when I never have heard you be upset when they cut a team leader. When they cut a team leader,
and
you don't care.
And
but when a team leader wants to get money, you be bothered.
I don't know. I'm not
That's inconsistent.
No.
Wildly.
I'm not normally upset when anybody tries to get money. All right? I'm for the player against the billionaire most of the time. But when it comes to team leader setting an example, I'm against that. Because that speaks to continuity for your team. And if Malcolm Jenkins struts around as a leader, I don't think that he's entitled to do something like this. The money thing should be secondary to him. You handle your business in another way. Meanwhile, you'd be there for your teammates because you are the leader.
I'm the leader, but I can't lead broke. I got to get my money.
Stop broke. 2 years ago, he signed a 4 year, he got 2 years left in his contract.
Yeah.
$35 million contract he signed.
Yeah, and they cut players all the time in this
league.
They're
not going to cut him.
They're not going to cut him now, but he knows if he plays this year out, they're going to cut him
I'm advocating getting his contract. I think he should get his contract. I think he will get his contract. I think it sends a bad message to your team when a team leader in the category. There's only a couple guys in this category. Cox is in that category. Malcolm Jenkins is in that category. Only
Carson.
A couple guys has that. Carson, obviously. So when you have that special status, I don't think it's a good message to your team. That's all I'm saying.
All right, but I think the message to all the players is also this is a business.
Uh-huh. Okay.
As well, and you got to get your money. And all you guys in the future, make sure you get your money in order as well.
I got to stay consistent. I was against Cox. I can't be for Jenkins here. Guys, these are different categories. I'm usually for the player. All right, now let's get to the crux of this process thing because we can't let the Sixers go because it's a constant reminder when we watch Toronto and Milwaukee in this series. Golden State is just ridiculous. So here's the question, because there are a lot of people that believe this, that the process was a failure. Now, I'm going to give you both sides of the argument. You tell me what side of the argument you're on. The process, for better or worse, yielded two star caliber players, which is really supposed to be the actual methodology of the process. You have to get star players that you can build around. They got star players, all but flawed star players, right? I can't sit here and say that I'm happy with both Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, but both of them are flawed players, even though they form the backbone of the process. If they lose Butler and they lose Tobias, which is also part of the process, because the process allowed you to get a guy like Jimmy Butler and allowed you to get a guy like Tobias Harris. You got him for Shamit and whatever. So if you lose one of those guys, can you say that the process is a failure?
No.
You're saying no, it is not a failure.
No. Even if you lose both, it's not a failure. One, I got to see who you replace them with. And you got
Well, you're not going to lose either one of them. You're riding with those two. We'll lay that landscape down. You're going to ride with those two.
No,
that's what you got to have.
I'm saying even if you lose Butler.
Butler and Tobias.
And
okay.
Tobias. It's still not a failure.
It's not.
You would still possibly be able to replace them.
How?
Well, you have to find other guys. You have to be a savvy GM.
See, this is why the process might be a failure. Because I did an analysis of all the final four teams.
Yeah.
The final four teams got lucky, and they created stars out of draft picks, but they also hit with second-round talent that they developed, which the Sixers have been unable to do. And they've been unable to make trades that have sustained them, like the Toronto Raptors. They made four trades which sustained them. So the process part of it is what else you do in the front office, it also yielding those star caliber players. And I don't think that the process really has done enough. Right now, if they lose Butler or Tobias, I might agree with the people that say it's a semi-failure. Not a total failure, but a semi-failure. Because now they're kind of drowning. Somebody's throwing him a life raft. You can't count on the Sixers right now. You don't even know what the Sixers are right now. They don't have the makeup of a full team yet. They're still putting a jigsaw puzzle together with this thing.
Yes, but you have two stars. Also, we don't know if Elton Brand will develop more of those guys. For example, Landry Shamet was a really good draft pick for what he was late in the first round.
Yeah.
Elton Brand did that. He's only had one draft.
Okay.
Not even. So I believe that they're absolutely, you can still build a roster around those guys, and you will still have some cap space if they were to both walk. And if you have those two, the rest of the guys don't matter nearly as much.
I think what I'm saying is, like at one point, I was a pro-process guy who said that's the only way you can get good in the NBA. And I look at Milwaukee, they get lucky with Giannis as the 15th pick in the first round. They get lucky with Chris Middleton, the second-round pick. They get Bledsoe in a trade. They get lucky with Brogdon, who's a second-round pick. And they get lucky with Connaughton, who was a second-round pick. And then they sign guys like Lopez, Mirotić, and Ilyasova and complete their team. So they built a team completely different than the Sixers did.
Absolutely.
And the Toronto Raptors, they got lucky with Siakam, but they got Kawhi in a trade. They got Lowry in a trade. They got Ibaka in a trade. They got Danny Green in a trade. They were savvy that way. Built that team. They're ahead of the Sixers right now. You look at the Warriors, say, all right, Durant is a free agent, but Curry... See, the Warriors were built with a semi-process because they got two first-round picks, 7 and 11, to build around. And they got Draymond in round two and then signed the free agent Kevin Durant. But Portland kind of did the same thing. First-round pick with Lillard, first-round pick with McCollum pretty early in the draft. The rest of the guys are role players that they developed. They're the Final Four. So the Sixers, what are they?
Also, you just said the Bucks didn't get lucky. The Bucks know how to draft second-round picks.
Okay, well...
They're better than the Sixers have been about drafting. Right, they drafted well.
They were savvy. They were lucky on Giannis.
Giannis was lucky.
I don't think anybody saw Giannis. It was going to be Giannis.
No, and that's also why Hinkie is overrated. Because Hinkie didn't hit on anybody.
Yep.
He didn't hit on anybody. How come he didn't get lucky not once. And Colangelo was a disaster. Mm-hmm. He didn't get luck. He passed on Siakam twice. TLC and Korkmaz. You're going to tell me a savvy guy might, with one of those two picks, pick Siakam, being that he's a countryman of Embiid, and maybe have a pipeline. If any team was going to draft Siakam, it should have been the Sixers with two picks in that range.
They didn't.
So I don't think, but the whole point to me is, this is a new GM. You have these pieces. Mm-hmm. I can't say it's a failure because if you surround these two pieces with the right guys, you can still win a championship.
All right. I want to know how many people think that the process is either a failure or a semi-failure, or because they're an unknown now. The Sixers are an unknown right now. As we sit here, their season ended. And normally you go, okay, next season they're going to get after it. But they're such an unknown right now, I can't even say that next year they're going to get after it. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missanelli Show right here, 97.5, the Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 2:20 on the Mike Missanelli Show. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention, you HVAC contractors. If you visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia, you can get equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. And, of course, we start the Twitter poll at this time of the Mike Missanelli Show. And the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Attention on landscapers looking to repower a zero-turn or a walk-behind mower. Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Miss Natalie.
Thank you, Mike.
Did you miss me yesterday?
I did.
Oh, thank you.
It's always, you know, a hole in our hearts when you're not here. But you're back.
It would have been nice that you said that. instead of me asking.
Happy you're back, Mike.
I had to beg for
that's
it.
That's the
right
one.
But, all right, thank you very much.
All right, well, we have over 600 votes on this one early. Do you think Carson Wentz should be fully participating in voluntary OTAs? 89% say yes, 11% say no.
All right, well, you know, usually it's a cautious town, so if you got no problem with it, I guess I don't have a problem with it. I'll need him dancing around. I have sidelines watching, maybe throwing a couple passes. I don't want to hear this no limitations, because I have limitations, all right? I don't put limitations on the guy, for crying out loud.
I think they'll control his reps.
A month and a half ago, he was saying his back wasn't healed yet. All of a sudden, is he a miracle man?
Back probably is not. Maybe it's not healed for contact. He's not getting hit, though. So I think the point is they want him to make all the throws and be with the team because he's the leader. And last year, one of the complaints was he was always in the rehab room. Right. His head was in a book.
This is voluntary. When it's mandatory, then I get to see it.
So a couple weeks when it's the
I'll put him in a rocking chair. That's what I would do. Let me ask you this question about baseball.
Sure.
Because the Phillies had a big win last night, right?
It was fun, yeah.
Yeah. Big win. Real Muto with a big night. Bryce with a hose. Arrieta got a standing ovation. Why isn't baseball talkable unless there's something to complain about? Have you noticed that?
Yes.
What, it's because it goes on every day? Is that what it is? That we can't stop and pause and examine baseball game by game because it's just kind of routine? Is that the way it works?
It's that, and we, unfortunately, and it applies too much to even basketball, mm-hmm. when you've talked about how you have to know how to lose mm-hmm. when you sit guys, it's part of the deal. We're such a football town with our mentality that if they had lost that game last night, we have a full board of people saying, oh, why'd Sir Anthony mm-hmm. come out for that extra inning? Yeah. What's Gabe doing? But because they won, we can't complain. So it's like on to the next thing. And it's kind of sad that we weren't always like that.
It is. And I'm sure baseball will heat up. But see, the baseball then gets drowned out by the Eagles as we go further into the summer.
Right.
But nobody's even thinking Eagles now. Like, we're in a time of nothingness. Because the Sixers lost. We are in a time of nothingness, frankly.
But pre-Super Bowl, OTAs was a big deal. Last year was the first time where fans were just
voluntary OTAs was a big deal?
Yes, because somebody doesn't show up.
This is not even a big deal that Carson Wentz is playing in OTAs.
That should be a big deal. It was before the Super Bowl. The quarterback coming out, returning from an injury. D-Jax is back. They're throwing passes.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
I'm not sensing any Eagle buzz right now. I'm not sensing any Philly buzz right now. We're still in the aftermath of this basketball thing.
It's strange that I don't know what... Who are we now, Mike? You ask big questions.
As a fan base?
Yeah, like, who are we now?
I don't know. We're indefinable right now. Listen, the Sixers define this town a lot.
Yes.
There are a lot of people who invested in the Sixers, more than I ever thought would be invested in the Sixers. And now that it's over, it's like the other sports have not taken up the burst. You know?
And I thought it would be, if star power was here, and Bryce is star power, that we would jump from Embiid mm-hmm. and Simmons and Butler, the stars, to the next star.
Well, here's the thing. We didn't even care about Bryce being in a slump.
No.
Nobody really cared that much about it.
And then he had a great weekend. He had throw that one home run that still hasn't landed. And people didn't grab.
People more nationally care more about Bryce Harper than we did when he was going through that.
Why?
I don't know. I think we're just we're numb. We're numb as a fan base right now. It's the only way I can explain it.
I think it's still early, too. If he's slumping.
Yeah, it's not June yet. Not June baseball yet.
Yeah, Memorial Day is kind of like
Memorial Day,
that thing.
Yeah, it's a break point. Yeah. All right. Jatin in Northeast Philly. What's up, Jatin?
Hey, Mike.
What is it?
Hey, Mike. How you doing? First time caller.
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. First thing I want to say, I was at the game actually in Toronto. You know, me and my cousin decided to drive down like Saturday midnight out of nowhere.
Oh, that's awesome, man. See, that's a great trip. That's a great idea for a road trip.
It was. It was like a last minute 8-hour drive, and we're like, let's just go. You know, we regret not going to the Super Bowl and stuff. So, seeing them lost like that was devastating, but the crowd brought the energy and stuff. Of course, leaving the stadium was crazy. They were heckling us and, you know, singing a goodbye song. But I want to talk about the process, how you said it was like a failure.
If they don't sign Butler, I could almost, you know, it's like a semi-failure.
I agree. While I was on hold, I was going to think about going against you, but I was thinking about, you know, looking at all the contracts and stuff, and I think it is a failure because like, either Harris or Butler don't re-sign. It's a big failure. And then, you know, you got the bench that you got to worry about. But I think I was looking, if no one signs or anything, which I hope doesn't happen, they have like $60 million and something on cap space. Do you think, you know, what do you think they could do with that? I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. If Butler doesn't sign, if they want to stay at the same level, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant are the only guys that will make them stay at that same level.
But I don't know if Klay Thompson would be, I don't know if he would leave Golden State.
I agree with you. So what I'm saying is it's probably unlikely that they can make that big of a splash. So then where are you left?
I agree. Yeah, I was trying to think about how it wasn't a failure.
See, that's what I'm looking at when I ask the question, is it a semi-failure? I'm asking a question with what can come if Butler doesn't sign here. And what can come is not that, you know, optimistic.
Yeah, I agree with you now.
So the process where, thanks for the call, the process, I was completely straight ahead forward on the process. I was a believer in it. I backed it because the process is supposed to get you a couple of jewels that you can build a franchise around. That's what it's supposed to do. And at one point we looked at it and go, yeah, they got the jewels. But now you look at it and you go, yeah, but these are flawed jewels. Because we don't know. It's not that they're that reliable that we can go, because we've seen glimpses, right? The one guy's got a problem staying on the court. The other guy's got a problem that it's undefinable. It's shooting a basketball. So, but the process in getting the jewels, you also have to back up the jewels with a nice little velvet case to put the jewels in.
No,
and they didn't back up the process.
You're right about that. And the one thing is when you take an extreme measure the way that they did, you put yourself up against the wall because you mentioned the other three final, you mentioned the final 14.
Yes.
And how they were built.
Yes.
They were built conventionally. You draft well, you get lucky with a guy, you make a trade.
Yes,
that's how you build a team.
They didn't go through a process.
Right. And even the Warriors were actively trying to win. And Klay Thompson being the 11th pick, the Sixers didn't get anybody that good around 11.
No.
Like Klay. Like
no, they were savvy in getting Curry and Klay, right. Obviously. They were savvy in getting Draymond Green in round two.
Steph was the third point guard taken in that draft.
Yeah.
He was the third point guard taken.
They were savvy in getting a veteran like Iguodala.
Yes.
And it was a no-brainer for
Draymond. They saw college production and found a way to use a guy who was an unconventional second-round guy. But he was great in college. Mm-hmm. Everybody passed on him. Literally everyone. They found the guy, and they said, if he can get in shape, he can be X. And look how good he's been. Sixers haven't done that.
No, they haven't done that. They have crossed their fingers on the likes of Furkan Korkmaz, Jonah Bolden, all these other guys that they swore up and down had NBA potential. And they have not. They have failed on that score.
It's too early to say about Bolden. Korkmaz, the ship has sailed. He probably will be out of the NBA. TLC will probably be out of the NBA.
That's what I mean.
Like, literally out of the league.
The TLCs and the Korkmazes in the world, they wasted.
And now you have Zaire Smith now must develop.
Mm-hmm.
He has to, because you have to fill out your roster with low-cost rookie contract guys. Because look at all those guys playing.
And I know we disagree on this, frankly, with Zaire Smith. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. Another guy that can't shoot. Learning how to shoot at an NBA level. Takes a long time, man. Let's go to Kevin in North Philly. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
What's going on, guys?
What's going on, Kev?
To you guys. I'm going to tell you something. I'm listening to you and Tyrone. And I agree with you. Let me just start off like this. I agree with you on the point what you just made about Zaire Smith. He's a G League player. He's never going to amount to anything. If anything, the other kid that's the shooter is going to be more better than him.
Who's that?
That's number one. That's number
who?
The guy that was in the G League right now that's sitting on the bench that couldn't play.
What, Shake Milton?
I think he's better than Zaire Smith as a shooter.
Come on, man.
Okay.
Oh, don't sell me any anymore of these dudes, please.
Let me finish. Can I finish, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I blame half this thing on why the process has failed on that guy named Mr. Colangelo, who came in here and destroyed half this thing up by going, first of all, Hinky never gave up another draft pick to move up. Never did that. He never did that. this guy came in here and got a bust that a lot of you talking heads on TV, on the radio, were saying, oh, he's good. He's this.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Markelle Fultz, who was a bust.
Fultz.
He's a bust. Let me finish it. I only got a couple of seconds left. So I know you like to cut people off. So I'm just telling you the last part. What I'm just saying is that we still got an opportunity. If Jimmy Butler doesn't go, we're going to have to go with second-tier players. Because, like I said, we got to give Elton Brand a shot. But let me do you one thing else. We're always talking about this coach. This coach that we got here, this player development coach, had all these opportunities with the Coop Myers and the Boulders that he signed off on, too. Don't think he didn't sign off on these players. So don't say that Hinkie was Hinkie's fault, but just because it wasn't just Hinkie, it's the people below Hinkie.
I agree with you. You have to have a feel for a player more than anything. And part of a feel, I think, is like you can read a guy's face and see a little bit of a feel. What do you read when you see Furkan Korkmaz? Do you read killer in that? When you see a guy like that?
Well, he shoots it. He squeezes.
What's he shoot? He shot in Turkey. Why did they make these evaluations based on guys playing in inferior leagues and think it's going to translate to the NBA? And it never does.
You have to be really, really good to do it. They found Giannis in the Greek league. And they knew, they didn't know what somebody knew.
Giannis looks like a killer. The way he
didn't
plays,
look like a killer, not,
but he attacks.
When he was 18.
But at least he attacks. What these other guys that they bring, they're not attack players.
I think what they saw in Korkmaz was a guy who Korkmaz thinks he's Curry. He really does still. If you ask Korkmaz, he still thinks he's Curry. He'll shoot from anywhere. So they saw a willing guy and they thought his shooting would translate and it just didn't. But Korkmaz, I understand it. Because if Korkmaz was on the show right now, and if you asked him who's the best shooter in the NBA, he would say him. He does think like that. He just can't play. But he did have the right mentality. He just didn't have the right ability. Now, the other guy, TLC, that was a bad look. That one, I can't. The flat jump shot that never got unflat.
All these mistakes have piled up to the point where the process per se is a good idea, but becomes a failure because they didn't back up the process.
But if you have two stars, they're not going to just evaporate.
Do you have two stars?
You do. Yes,
absolutely do. And I'm more inclined to believe you that they have two stars. These stars right now as we sit are flawed stars.
But you know what they said about Curry before he won? He doesn't play enough defense. They said that Klay didn't dribble enough, didn't move the ball, was one-dimensional.
They always had the ability to do what?
They could shoot.
Drain it!
Right, but they didn't win because that's all they did. They became better players. Mm-hmm. And I think it's unfair to decide, it would be unfair, I'm not saying you're saying that, to decide that Simmons and Embiid aren't stars while they're still developing.
The Sixers don't have any drainers. Well, like those guys. Like McCollum and Lillard are drainers.
Shamit was. They traded Shamit. No, he can purely shoot. He can.
You overreact quickly.
He's going to be a 40%.
You're an overreactor.
He's going to be a 40% three-point shooter for his whole career.
But it's not like you lost Steph Curry.
No, you're right about that.
You lost Shamit.
No, you didn't lose Curry. But what
and
I'm saying is
you gave McCollum and Lillard.
No, but you have your McCollum and Lillard. You need the piece of the
puzzle. You don't have McCollum and Lillard because those guys consistently shoot.
Those guys have been in the league longer. Simmons and Embiid are better than McCollum and Lillard as a duo. They are. You're in better spot than those guys.
I'm saying that they're flawed and they don't have drainers.
Right, but those
they
guys
don't have
flawed.
Guys that can make shots when they need to make shots.
They don't have enough shooting around their guys. Yeah, that's true.
All right,
but you can get shooting.
You can?
Yes, it's hard to get the star. You can find shooting. Everyone else does. You can find shooting.
So where are the Sixers looking at? Ahoy, matey. They're looking at a barren landscape.
They'll get shooters.
I'm glad you know. I guess Shake Milton.
Well, Shake can shoot the ball, Mike.
Shake
can shoot the ball.
Shake this.
He can shoot the
all
ball.
Right. That's I've had violation. Enough of the Shakes.
Well, you can't get upset about the Shakes.
Let's go Melt in Philly. Melt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Melt.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, man?
Oh, man, I wanted to talk about Carson Wentz and the OTAs.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I think Doug Peterson did a huge job not letting them play them last couple games to get them healthy. So when the OTAs come by, he'd be ready for the new squad that we drafted.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, a month and a half ago, he said his back wasn't healed. A month ago, actually. He said his back wasn't healed yet. What's the point of playing him in OTAs?
Say again?
What, turn your radio off, bro. Your radio's on. Or your TV, whatever it is. See, that's why you're asking me to say it again, because you're paying attention to yourself.
All right, got you.
All right, turn it off.
Heard you.
Yeah, but it's still on, dude, so we can't rock. All right, let's go to Scott in the Northeast. Scott, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Scott?
All right, so for me, the process is more of a failure than a success, so let me give you my reasons why. First of all, they might have got two stars, okay? But one of them, we all know, winless for Wiggins, Mike. It was luck that they got the third pick, because if they would have got Wiggins, it would have been another miss. And they have a lot more misses than Hicks.
Well, they didn't get Wiggins, so what would we bring
out? I know, but it would have been a miss.
Oh, I get it, but
so it was luck. It was luck they got.
Well, whatever it was. I mean, you know, sometimes you have to have that kind of, dream drift where it works out in your favor. Sometimes you get lucky like that.
Okay, now the other thing is, like you said, the Milwaukees, the Golden States, I guess you could even say Boston, they did it the old-fashioned way. It's so much more important to have a GM that knows the game. Anybody can lose, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to have a great GM to get those good late first-round picks and second-round picks to build the team.
It is, but it's more than the GM. It's the guys that are out there evaluating people. It's the scouts. It's the assistants. It's the guys.
It's part of the whole team.
It is. It's like, I don't understand how the Sixers have looked at it with cross eyes, and everybody else hits on second-round picks that are in the Final Four.
You want to know why? Because they were relying on losing games and relying on that first pick. That's why. They weren't relying on their scouts to go out and find talent. They were relying on, let's lose all year and get the first pick and build from there. Okay? And that's why I think it was a failure, because it didn't prove to fall out that way, because they have so many more misses. I mean, we could talk all day about their misses.
Yeah, I don't know which way to go. That's why I call it a semi-failure. It's not a total failure. You got Embiid and Simmons. It can't be a failure. But the fact that you don't have any, like, right now, how many guys do they have in their contract? Four guys? They have four guys under contract. Two of the guys are the superstars that are supposed to lead this team, who we now know are a little bit flawed for whatever reason, because the availability part of it, because he doesn't shoot the ball. These are flaws. It's not like can I stone count on those two?
But how many players in the NBA aren't flawed that are stars?
Yeah, but Ben Simmons' flaws go beyond just a major flaw. I mean, a minor flaw. He's got a major flaw in his game. He won't shoot the ball, Tyrone.
No, that's a big thing, but I'm saying Lillard and they don't play. Lillard and McCollum play no defense, and that's why they got swept, because they could not get stops late in games, and they got swept because of that. They're flawed. They may never win a title. The Sixers are still in better shape than that roster. They're flawed, but they play enough defense together that where you can build shooting around them and win a title. So you're not that off, unless you're LeBron,
I hope
Durant.
You're right. As I sit here right now, I don't know what they are. This is like going into a portal and coming out the other side. You have no idea what's on the other side. You don't know about Butler. You don't know about Tobias Harris. You don't know how they're going to draft. You don't know what minimum salary players they can get. You don't know the guys that you have under contract are any good. Like, to me, like, the Furkan Korkmaz, Jonah Bolden thing, to me, is just flat silly. That they're able to believe in guys that are putting up, not even putting up numbers, in foreign leagues that are one-tenth of the strength that they have to be in the NBA. Jonah Bolden's averaging 6 to 8 points in Tel Aviv. And all of a sudden, he's Dennis Rodman here. Like, where's that leap come from? Oh, yeah, I'm going to bring him over now. Now he's ready to play. You got to know guys can play in this league. You got to have a feel for whether guys can play in this league. I don't know who's doing their basketball research. I don't know who's out there scouting.
Well, they got new scouts and stuff now.
Okay.
New GM.
All right. I'm fed up with all these second-round failures and these bench player failures. 610-632-0975. Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 247. Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, back in for a day off. So I can tell you the story about the day off. So yesterday I had to go to the shore because I was donating some furniture. Getting rid of some furniture because it's been there forever and it's dated and it's old. But it's a nice natural pine.
People can work with it, they do.
Yeah, it's a big natural pine, big coffee table, drawers, and an end table, and a 6 foot high armoire in natural pine. It's got all these swirls at the top. It's really nice. And I used it for like an entertainment center. It's got drawers in it also, so it could be a wardrobe thing as well.
Right.
Oh,
but it's covered, and it's got that thin, crappy veneer as the back of it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right. So it's not full wood. So
yeah.
So I put the TV in it, which meant I couldn't get a real big screen TV, a TV to fit in there. And I cut out the back so I didn't have the wires, you know, easily go through the whole bit. So the Habitat for Humanity people come, and I'm expecting finally I get rid of this thing, and I'm going to get a hold of it. So they go, we can't take that. And I go, what do you mean? We no longer take entertainment centers, and if this had a wood back, we could take it, but there's no market for them. I go, this is the only thing. This is really the big thing. I want out of here. So they go, I'll tell you what, we'll take it down to the curb. So,
well,
all right,
let's
take it down to the curb.
Maybe somebody will want it.
Somebody, you know, there's always hunters for furniture. Somebody come down here, whatever. And if it stays out there, the township bulk trash will take it. Right? So unbeknownst to me, it's a bulk trash day.
Oh.
Unbeknownst to me, right?
So
I go, and I have a tree guy there, because finally, this tree issue that I had down there, finally got it settled. So my tree guy's down there grinding the stump because he's going to plant new trees. He's down there. So they couldn't get this armoire out. I said, listen, it looks like it sits on something. And they look inside, they go, yeah, it's got some screws in it, so we'll take the screws out. And they were able to take the upper part of it off and get it out in two pieces. So they take it to the curb, and my tree guy looks at it, he goes, you get rid of that? I go, yeah. He goes, well, I got a couple guys who might be interested in that. They could, you know, they probably could take it, restore, do some restoration, whatever. I go, fine. So I go upstairs, and I hear this. The bulk trash guys are coming down the street.
And they
see it, and they get it, and they put it in the back of the cruncher. And then the tree guy's like, he's looking at it like, I go, could you stop him? Because I was looking the other way.
won't see that no more.
I'm coming down the stairs. I hear blood curdling crunch and the trash truck smashing it.
Bye bye.
You know, that's so, how you can tell you.
Bye bye for that.
You live in a nice town.
That was the end of that.
That the bulk trash guy even comes.
Seriously.
Apparently they come once every 2 weeks.
Yeah,
they happen to be like that at that moment. They happen to be coming down the street, gone. I wanted to donate it. Nice piece.
That's a shame. That is a shame. What are you gonna do?
Won't see him no more.
Yeah.
We won't see him no more. That's right. It's gonna Rasan in Philly. Rasan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, let me get y'all speaking.
What's up, Rasan?
Hey, how you doing, Mike? How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Our first time calling, I just want to say, how could you say that is a semi-failure? That I don't understand.
Well, because I'm looking at where they are now. You tell me where they are right now.
They're coming off 250 plus.
Yeah, that's what I ask you. Where are they right now? Forget where they're coming off of. Where are they right now?
Right now they have two cornerstone pieces. Mm-hmm. So right now it's a success.
Two cornerstone pieces that will get you what if you don't have Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris? What are they going to get you, those two cornerstone pieces?
They got 50 wins without both of them players before, right? So those are the killers.
But you're missing my point. Where are they now? Are they behind Milwaukee?
Well, we don't know because Middleton.
Of course they're behind Milwaukee.
Well,
what are you kidding me?
At this point,
at this point, you're right. But we're talking about going forward, right? You're talking about after.
Yeah, I'm talking about going forward. How do they replace Butler if Butler doesn't sign back here? And what kind of a team are they if they don't have a Butler-caliber player?
Well, we have to wait and see. It's a free agency. Milwaukee's not going to be the
Tell me, are you going to get Kevin Durant? Then I'm sold. Are you going to get Klay Thompson? Then I'm sold. Who else are you going to give me?
It's a possibility. You don't think it's a possibility?
It might be, but I'm talking about right now. What's the likelihood right now of KD or Klay Thompson coming here?
It's a stronger possibility that we keep Butler. I believe Butler.
Okay, well, listen, if they keep Butler and yesterday he announced, then I'm not having this conversation today. I'm asking you what they are right now while everything's in limbo.
But it's a success regardless if Butler comes back or not. Coming from where we're coming from, the last 15 years.
It's a semi-success. It's not a great success if you can't win the East.
Well, I don't know. It's hard to win a championship.
Oh, are you kidding me? Wait. You're taking.
You can get two Hall of Famers and still not win a championship.
So you're allowing them off the hook.
No, I'm okay with 10 years of relevance.
I'm okay with an Eastern Conference title, bro. I'm done with the relevancy part. I want an Eastern Conference title.
I totally agree, but that gives you a chance to win a championship. We don't know what's going to happen, but if you're in the playoffs every year for the next 10 years, you might can get one. So who's to say that you can't get one? But my point is, coming from where we came from for the last 15 years, 10 years of playoffs.
You got two players. You came all that way. You got two players. You didn't get any second round talent that developed. You didn't get anybody else but the two players.
But they got two max. They got. Now they didn't have no money, and they had no time. I totally agree with you. But they got money to get somebody.
They don't have any. They have money to get somebody if Butler doesn't resign, right?
Right.
Okay. Now tell me who it's going to be. Is it going to be Kawhi? No. Is it going to be Kyrie Irving? No. Is it going to be Kevin Durant? Probably not. Is it going to be Klay Thompson? Well, who else?
Possibly.
Possibly. Well, if they get Klay Thompson resigned, then I'm happy. All right? But that's not the conversation for today because they don't have Klay Thompson. And there's no indication that they will get Klay Thompson if they lose Jimmy Butler. I'm talking about like the uncertainty of where they are now. If they're drowning in the uncertainty, then tell me what the process yielded. Two players, and I love both of them. But you got to have more than the two players. That's why they went out and made the trade for Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, because they got to back up those two players. Those two players aren't enough to give you an Eastern Conference title as good as you think they are. 610-632-0975. Mike Mussinelli Show back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.